Welcome back to another Daily Walk, and today we want to talk about artificial Jesus. This is becoming, of course, a big topic because artificial intelligence is starting to proliferate everywhere in our society, including into the church. We've seen instances in Sweden, for example, of a Catholic church that did an AI Jesus, complete with a screen. So you have a European Jesus that's up there taking confessions when people go into the confessional. And of course, the devices themselves, the artificial intelligence is only as good as the data that you feed into it. And so what ends up happening with all of these systems is if you're inputting, for example, the Catholic data, as that church did, you're going to have an artificial Jesus, which can spit out the simple answers to any Catholic question with alleged perfect accuracy to the Catholic doctrine. Well, there are many groups that would disagree with the Catholic doctrine. And so this raises the question about what is the correct way. When we approach the scripture to understand it, it's important that we can read the scripture. If you have an artificial intelligence, simply you can ask it questions, tell me where this story is in the Bible, so you can get it and you can read it, that is fine. But the idea of artificial intelligence, the way they're doing it right now, isn't just to give you that, it's to give you an academic summary. So you have the challenge here that there's different theological perspectives. And so let's just take the Calvinism-Arminianism debate, for example. If I'm talking about what type of, you know, what does this passage mean? If you're training it with a bunch of data set from a bunch of Calvinist teachings, it inherently gives you just that viewpoint. If you're asking about Arminian leanings, you're going to get exactly that. Now, it's possible to train the system to have all sorts of data inputs coming in which case it might be able to give you a summary of this position versus that position. But even still, the challenge is you have not come to those discoveries upon yourself. You're still relying on the external AI to give you the data. This is where the fundamental challenge comes into play. Ultimately, AI is as good only as the data that goes in. Like anything else, input, output. You put garbage in, you get garbage out. You get bad code going in, you get bad software coming out. You get good information coming in, you get good information coming out. Here's the biggest challenge that we have with AI in general. Not the religious focused ones, but in general. We have AI systems which are trained on the publicly available data. The challenge we have is that in this society, bad news is what sells. And so the vast majority of AI is trained on the most sinful elements of our nature. This is why when we have hallucinations inside of AI, it never accuses somebody of building an orphanage. It always accuses them of some sinful crime. This is what the cause of this is, because it's trying to parse out. It says, well, I can't find any information on this person, so let's just add what the average type of sin might be, for example. And so the challenge is that AI is inherently an amplification of the most sinful reflections of the human society. That is what causes the biggest challenge that we see as we examine all these different issues. Now, if we're training an AI based on limited data, like the Catholic Church or the Calvinist or Arminianist viewpoint, then the challenge we have here is we lose out on the experience of this. I'm going to go into a brief R-rated movie for a second. There's the movie Good Will Hunting. And there's a scene in the movie where the therapist that's working with him, played by Robin Williams, has a degree of breakthrough in his own mind, where at first the person, Will, really does something that bothers him. Will is this academic genius, if you've not seen the movie, but he has so many social problems that it shadows his opportunity, overshadows it. And so he's working with this therapist. And the therapist goes out and meets him on this park bench and says this interesting thing that I came across myself and thought, reflected on it in van life here, because what he said is, if I asked you about the Sistine Chapel, you could probably rattle off every single fact from every single element, every single book that's out there. But does he know what it smells like? Does he experience the feeling when he goes into the Sistine Chapel and looks up and sees the amazing painting for himself? And that is fundamentally where we are at in our world. I've noticed this with the younger culture, the current upcoming generation. My friend that's in his mid-20s at this point in time, we were talking about some, at one point in time a while back, about movies and such. And you'd bring up a movie and he would give some analysis of the movie that almost like he's seen it. I'm like, you're missing something. What'd you think when you saw it? Well, I never saw it. He watched a review of it. You see, that's what AI has become, is we don't watch the movie, we watch the review of the movie, and then we adopt everything that the bias of that person says about that movie. A fun factor, it's of course, I'm recording this the day after Christmas, there's all these Christmas things coming down, Minty Comedic Arts, I think, channel in Australia, does great breakdowns. He did a Home Alone 3 breakdown, then he looked at all of these different Home Alone franchises. I completely disagreed with him on the analysis of one of those Home Alone franchise series. I'll just leave you wondering which one. Because he thought it was the worst episode, the worst one out there. I actually thought it was one of the best. Not the best, not the original. Maybe not even the second one, but I thought it was one of the best. He thought it was absolutely, without a doubt, the worst. And I disagree with him. And that's the challenge. We have a world where we have all of these reviews at our fingertips. And if we take somebody else's viewpoint and adopt it as our own without coming across that viewpoint for ourselves, we are cheating ourselves. I've mentioned on this channel before, of course, the doctrines of sola scriptura, you know, the five solas of the Reformed faith, which by and large, I tend to hold to the Reformed faith. The challenge is that when we get into sola scriptura, which means by scripture alone, we're defining our theology by scripture alone. What that ultimately means is we're not using church authority. But I like using this expression of the scripture to say, we are not living our lives in this modern world by sola scriptura. We are living it by sola someone else's scriptura. It's difficult for us to open up the scripture and provide information and insight into that verse based on our own personal study without talking about our favorite preacher and his analysis. And so when we get into it, we can talk about this particular verse, but then the next thing out of your mouth is, according to this preacher, you have failed at your task of understanding the scriptures for yourselves. So what happens with the AI in this world, in my opinion, is the AI is so intensifying all of the nonsense around it to the point that we are going to accept the AI premise of what some verse is about rather than accepting the interpretation itself. Because it's going to be too easy to ask it, what does this verse mean, rather than for us in solid study of the scriptures to get in there and seek and understand what that verse means itself. And so even if we're talking about AI models trained specifically on data specific to churches, now we have to question, which church data are we using? There are a lot of denominations out here. And with all of these different denominations being done, it is too easy to intensify somebody's believings under, this is what the Southern Baptist teaches, this is what the Presbyterian teaches, this is what the Methodist teaches. And if we have an AI based on the solid teachings of these particular denominations, we are likewise losing out ourselves on the teachings of the scripture itself. And this is where we have to step aside from denominationalism and wrestle with these individual verses themselves. While I was, of course, not raised in any church, when I came to Christ, I had more influence by Baptist churches, but I'm frustrated with Baptist churches. I have not regularly attended Baptist churches in quite a long time at this point in time. In fact, I find that some of the other, you know, loose affiliations are a whole lot better than the actual denominations. And so that is an important thing to think about. Now, the next area where AI is getting really bad in this is, we saw the very first of this, I think it's Rob Carpenter is the mega church pastor in South Carolina. He literally created an app for all of his fans to interact with him. So, you know, you might go in and love his sermons. And so you're downloading everything, you're listening every month, you know, you're on the podcast feed, whatever else. But man, you try and talk to a pastor of a big church sometime. You know, I love MacArthur's preaching. I went to MacArthur's church once. You know, MacArthur comes out of a back door surrounded by security, preaches, and then leaves with a group of security. A person in that church does not have access to John MacArthur. This is a fundamental problem with large churches, because ultimately the pastor is the one ultimately responsible for the congregants, and if the congregant has no access to the pastor, we have a fundamental problem. Now, you get a church as big as that, and that is unfortunately the reality to what it is. Now, that particular church has a lot of other groups, it has a lot of associate pastors, it has a lot of other interactions. It's not a horribly negative thing. But when we start tying our theologies to a John MacArthur or a Ron Carpenter, and we start getting caught up with their teaching rather than the actual truth about what the scripture is, studying the scriptures for ourselves, then we can develop a celebrity status. And the celebrity status is a problem. So what Ron Carpenter did is he utilized one of these AI models that can create your voice, maybe your video image. He basically did this all himself, trained on all of his sermons, and created this app that you can download, and then you can say, "Oh, I'm feeling sad, Ron, and let me pray for you, my brother or sister in Christ," you know? And so it's what ends up happening. It is blasphemous, because here we have a circumstance where a prayer is a deeply personal thing. A computer-generated AI system listening for one or two prompts. "I'm feeling bad. My finances are bad. I had a car accident." You know, whatever you happen to say, in this computer just impersonally adopts all this stuff and feeds it all into you and then spits out this digital prayer for you. This is not a communication with God. This is utter blasphemous nonsense. Of course, everybody in his church and everybody that listens to him on the radio or wherever you listen to that crazy guy, you can download the app so you too can have a personal conversation with your favorite pastor, Ron Carpenter, for $50 a month. That is $600 a year. And you know, with a mega church like this and some self-centered, arrogant celebrity pastor who is not even worthy of that title, is now fleecing his congregants $600 a month for this AI experience that they can have a robot push out a generic prayer to him based on a couple of keywords and prompts. This is heresy. This is heresy. That man will not be in heaven if he does not repent of this nonsense. I'm calling that. Okay? And so when we start injecting AI into the church, we start causing serious problems. If it's the general AI, we'll get the, you know, we'll get all of the incorporation of the worst sin. Oh, let's not forget this one. It wasn't in my notes, but there was actually a study came out recently about what happens when AI directs a society. There's a lot of discussion about AI making decisions. Google just opened up its AI in order to allow I think it's the Claude AI. They have a couple AIs over there, either Gemini or Claude, one of those two. I don't know. I think Claude might be Facebook. I forget. Anyway, Google's AI, Google is the company. They said that you can now use our AI to make decisions in key areas as long as a human is involved in the process, which is going to mean a rubber stamping. Okay, the AI says I will do. We are going to see a negative consequence of that in the very near future. But what they decided to do is see what would happen if AI directed a society. So they took a whole bunch of AI bots, trained it on, I think it was ChatGPT, and released it into a Minecraft society, basically a commune over Minecraft. What did they start to do? They developed all the different things. They developed the government. They developed an anti-government. They developed jobs. They developed bombs. They developed everything. And they developed religion. What religion did they come to? Pastafarianism. So when you leave AI in charge of decisions, you start seeing the proclamation of the gospel of the flying spaghetti monster. And so the challenge we have here is that how can one use AI? In my opinion, you just need to avoid it. I think that this is the beginning element of the mark of the beast. I don't think it is the mark of the beast itself, but it's going to certainly help in a lot of the end time scenarios. We do not need AI. It can, in theory, help us. Particularly, it's like, where is this particular story? You describe some story, it could tell you the verse. But as far as getting it back to where you are, we need to get back into the scripture, and we need to understand these things from the scriptural interpretation alone, not worrying about all of these other elements inside of it. So with that, be warned of the artificial Jesus. It is not going to help you in the process of things. So with that, thank you for watching. Have a look over the website, ourwalkinchrist.com. Pick up a book over there, or you can figure out where our books are and buy them where you want to buy your books online. Support the channel over there as well. With that, thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's T-O-M-M. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.